لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، خالق السماوات والأرضين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، الذي سمي بالقرآن بطه وياسين، والمزمل والمدثر أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين الروحي وأرواح العالمين ولتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الدائم الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب الحكيم وقرآن المجيد، وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل نفس ذائقة الموت، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد.
Alhamdulillah, and all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have this tawfiq to commemorate and remember the sacrifices and services rendered by Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and to bring up the teachings of Islam mentioned in Quran. Discussing the fundamentals of the fundamentals of Islam, we discussed about the monotheism, oneness of Allah. We discussed about His justice. We mentioned a few things about the need of prophets. We discuss about the continuation of the divine guidance and leaderships in the style of Imamat of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Now, this leadership is very important to keep us on the track. These are the guides. These are the people who guide us where to go and how to go. They just do not tell us what is beneficial for us in the next world, but they give us that knowledge and awareness that from where we have been sent, that how we have been created, who is our creator. They introduce to us the creator of this world. My young friends are sitting over here, a bit repetition of what I said a couple of nights back, that we are ready to go and study theories and books of other people. Just take it as any other theory which has been given by our scholar or scientist. The theory of creation, which is being told to us by Ahlul Bayt, the theory of creation, which has been explained to us by Quran, which has been explained by the prophets and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. If our beginning is confirmed that we have been created by a creator with absolute ilm, absolute knowledge, and absolute power, and absolute wisdom, then we will come to this conclusion that he has not created us without a purpose. We have not been created just like that to do whatever we like. There's a purpose of our creation. The opportunity which has been given to us, we have been given existence. We have been given existence. We were been fortunate among all those germs which follow to become a creation, existence. Just one germ become a successful to give a shape of a human being, or maybe sometime couples. Out of thousand of those germs, why this germ has that creation? And Amirul Mumin said that why we are so proud and becomes arrogant when we have been created from a germ and we will become a dust. So the person who has been created with a germ and will become a dust, what proud, why that person is proud for? Why that person is become arrogant? When the reality of his creation and of his end in this world is like that. If we remind ourselves of our creation, and then the purpose of our creation, we will come to know that why we have been created. These imams, these infallible guides, what is their mission to us? Their mission is to keep us on the track, guide us. They do not compel, they do not grab our hand and say, no, you have to do this. No. They just remind us, this is the right way, this is the wrong way. You need to be careful while talking to your parents. You need to be careful while dealing with your friends and with your neighbors. You need to be careful that how you speak, how you behave in front of your friend, your fellow being. We need to be careful. Why we need to be careful? Because whatsoever we are doing in this world is to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking the pleasure of, we say we come to the Majlis-e-Aza, we come to the mosque to seek the pleasure of Imam Hussein. Seeking the pleasure of Imam Hussein is what? It is the ultimate goal? No. We seek the pleasure of Imam Hussein because Allah will be pleased with us. Has been in the hadith that whosoever will love Hussein, Allah, I will love him. And whosoever I will love him, Allah will love him. So loving and caring about Imam Hussein and his teaching and giving homage and respect to Imam Hussein and other imams, it becomes giving respect to Allah, being obedient to the Prophet and these 12 infallible Imams. It's not being obedient to these 14 infallibles. Being obedient to them is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. Allah is explaining that line, that being obedient to your imams, being obedient to these divine guides, is is equal to being obedient to the Prophet, and being obedient to the Prophet is my obedience. This is what imams are for. I do not need to compare things. The topic is not the comparison of other schools of thought. It needs to be discussed in a logical and rational way. But just to give you an insight, a little bit insight of the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt, that the privilege and the distinctive point in the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt, that they always follow the divine guidance. They do not deviate from here to there. And even now, someone can say, today we do have our 12th imam, but he is an occultation. Yes, he is an occultation, but again, in his absence, not in his presence, what he has told us, that we should be following the scholars and ulama who are able to understand and interpret Quran and Hadith and convey the message, and they are able to control their nafs ammara, that is the carnal soul, and they do not have love of worldly things, and so on. So we follow those scholars, those ulama who have depth study in Quran and the teaching of Ahlul Bayt. So if we are doing taqleed, if we are following one of the ulama, respecting our ulama and scholars, maraji'een, it is not something that we have selected from ourselves. It is one of the commands of our divine guides, that while I am in occultation, so you should not be wandering around and being confused what to do and what not to do. I am telling you how to find your path, how to go. This is the direction. They never left. When Allah sent Adam alayhi salam, he told him what to do. When he sent Ibrahim, he told what to do. When he sent his different prophets, he told them to give direction to the people, to the nation for whom they have sent. When all these 124,000 prophets and apostles have been given this command not to leave their nation without a guide, even when Hazrat Musa alayhi salam leave his nation, his people, for 30 days, then he extended for another 10 days, become 40 days. He does not leave without a leader, without a guide, and he nominates his brother, who was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as his next to the leader, that he should be a guide in his absence. So when Hazrat Musa do not leave his people and nation without a guide, without a person who can give direction and guide them towards the right or wrong, how it is possible that a holy prophet is going for till the day of the Qiyamah and he is not leaving any other person as his wazir, as his second, as his minister, over there, as a guide for the people to come, not in this generation, but the generation till the day of judgment. So we believe, and we have this strong belief, and this is the essential part of the belief of the followers of Ahlul Bayt, that Prophet did not lift without the appointment of divine leaders, and not only appointing Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, but he also named, there are ahadith in which he has named imams after imam till the 12th imam, that is Imam Muhammad Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Last night, as I mentioned, it's not the choice of a father to choose which of my son is going to be imam after me. No. It's not monarchy. It's not dictatorship. It's not something which can be chosen by a prophet. It can be decided by an imam who will be the next imam. No. It cannot be. So, it's by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's by divine guidance. So, we have this privilege that we follow that divine lineage which goes up to the being the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we are obedient and following our ulama, maraji'een, and the leaders, divine leaders, and the spiritual guides, so we are not falling something out of coming from our own desires. It is because our imam, 12th imam, has asked us to do so. And we are to be obedient to our 12th imam. We follow our maraji'een, our ulama. We respect them. We follow them. We take the guidance from them. And when they, inshallah, and very soon, inshallah, well, the 12th imam will reappear. The respect of ulama is there, but then we will follow directly to our 12th imam, Imam Zamana ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Now these are the just the ministers of whom? The Holy Prophet. The entire credit of their services in all these years and centuries will be credited into the account of the last prophet, who is the leader of all the 124,000 prophets and apostles and messengers. That's why we have been said as the ummah of Muhammad, as the nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Remember that only Muslims are not the nation of the Prophet. The entire creation, regardless they believe in the Prophet or they don't believe in the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad, they deny it. They abuse him. They may be making cartoons and films and different things. They're insulting that prophet. But again, they come in the nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So remember that it is the responsibility to follow step by step. How come we have been said that we should be following like the ulama, maraji'een, we should be following our parents if they are asking us something on the path and as according to the teachings of Islam? Then we have to be obedient and we should be obliging what they are saying. But even if these parents are asking us something wrong, incorrect, against the teachings of Islam, we should not be following them. We should not be obedient to them. But at the same time, while we cannot be obedient to them, we cannot be disrespectful to our parents. Like if a mother asks to her young girl that not to do hijab, not to cover his head and body, so very respectful she will decline, because if she understands that it is an obligation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she will be being respectful to her mother. she could not be obedient to her. She will be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, if a wife would like to cover his head, when a person got married, she got married to a very beautiful, outgoing, and so on. But after some years, this wife of this handsome person realized that she should be covering and doing hijab. Now, her husband cannot deny, it's her right to do hijab. He cannot say not to offer prayers, not to do hijab, not to do all these wajibat and obligatory things. Husband cannot say. He cannot say because I am your husband, so whatever I say, what I will tell you, you have to do it. No. If it's against Islam and the teaching of Islam, while wife being respectful to her husband, she will follow the teachings of Quran, the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Can you salawat Muhammad?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So we need to, this is the imamat. What the hadith says, imamat is asasuddin. It is the basic and fundament of a religion. Why? Imamat is guidance. Imamat means leadership. Now there could be any leadership, but this is the divine leadership because it's connectivity with the Prophet, with connectivity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we have someone who has lots of proof. Now it is very much important for my young friends to understand that even if we are not totally convinced that these infallible divine leaders and imams could be the true leaders for us and could be a true guide for us in this world and hereafter, even then we have two sort of guides, two sort of teachers. One who knows only worldly matters to a little and very limited as per his or her education and knowledge. And we know that the teachers we have, the leaders we have, they have a very, very little knowledge about the worldly matters. Then what they do? They make a team for themselves. So the team of advisors and those, that group of advisors, a team of advisors advise them what to do and what not to do in politics, in economics, in education, in social issues. They advise what to do, what is right, what is wrong, how to go forward, what strategy that person, that leader should adopt. This is a leader who is not that much capable. That person could be smart, worldly, smart, have some good wisdom, but still, in comparison to this person, we have divine leaders who can show us both the faces of these worldly issues, that how we should deal the challenges which we face in this world. They guide us. What worldly issues we develop? We develop at times we are sick. We are bedridden. At times we face financial challenges. At times we face social issues. We face family issues with our spouses, with our parents, and with our family members and so on. So there are multiple issues which a person is involved and at times indulge himself in these problems and he does not find any way out. Okay? So there are two ways. Go to the counselor, consultant who have studied in a college and not practicing and having his knowledge, some is bookish knowledge and some other is knowledge which that person has gained from his or her experience, which we are not sure about that bookish knowledge, that how correct it is. As I told you in previous nights, this what scientists and research scholars, they say, it's not 100%. We have seen in history that what they have said 200 years back, 400 years back, 100 years back, 50 years back, now there's different theories, different ideas. So we are not sure, but still, around, when we look around, that person, that studied person, that doctor, that specialist, this consultant seems to be the best choice, which we have. We don't have any other choice. But on the other hand, if we go and find and see into the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, we find different ways. It's not always, we say, number one, let me finish this. It's not always that only there are Quranic verses to recite. It's not always to some duas to be recited. Although it has its own impact. Just give me an example. How a dua, a Quranic verse can make his impact, even if we believe it's not have that divinity. About Quran, we know it's a divine. Even if we feel that maybe it's dua, I don't know it's from Imam or not. We have at times maybe doubt that it's been narrated truly from Imam or not. But one thing, in psychology, I have studied that if I'm having a fever. If I am a fever and I am sick and I want to attend a very important meeting, what to do? One is email them, text them, call them, sorry, I cannot do it. But that meeting is not for them, it was for me. So I need to go over there. How to strengthen our own willpower? Strengthen our own willpower. One of the tips I can say, I know there are doctors, so when they are ulamas, you need to be careful. When they are doctors, you need to be careful, don't to say something beyond your own knowledge or something which is doctors can say, no, Maulana, it wasn't like that. Well, but this is a definite tip I know. What is that? To strengthen your will, you can say, I can do it. You will remind yourself again and again. No, I don't have any fever. I can do it. I can walk. I can go. I can do this thing. While you are in bed, you are not moving. But still you start telling yourself, yes, I can do. If I go and take a shower, then I will do. If you try to make your mind in a way that you convinced while you are maybe having a temperature and fever of maybe, 103, 104, you will be able to go and attend that meeting. Maybe many of you have done this thing, including myself, and many times. And this was being taught by whom? No psychologist. It was being taught to me by one of my spiritual guides, Marhum Ayatullah Ishtihardi, who said, never miss your class. Even if you are sick, tell you are not sick. And I tried after that. I say, it's effective. While I am having a fever, I was shivering, but still I was able to convince myself. And when I read later on in the psychology, I discussed some learned people, they say, yes, it is like that. You can strengthen your minds and your strengthen your willpower, and you can do and decide. Now these Quranic verses, these duas, when we recite again and again and again, it makes an impact. When my own words can make an impact on myself, how come the divine words of Allah and the divine words of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt cannot make an impact on me? Because of doubt, we do not practice. We keep it aside. Try it, and you will see. Definitely it will happen. Without a doubt. But giving you a tip, Just whenever you want to try something, anything, it's a spiritual thing or any medicine or something like that, you need to keep your previous doubts aside for that time period. Number one. Number two, when you are performing that act, don't say, I am just testing. I am just testing. When you say, I am testing, there's always a margin of doubt has been created in your mind. Somebody says, if you do this exercise for 10 days, you will lose, for example, 10 pounds. Okay? Well, I don't know about that exercise. Well, I can say. But if somebody advises that if you do this exercise, you will lose this pound. So while you are practicing that exercise, don't have one, I'm testing it. Okay, let's see what happens, doesn't happen. No. At least for 10 days, you should have clear mind that no. Clear belief that this will happen. Yes, after 10 days, then you take the conclusion that what happened. You said, I will lose 10 pounds. I just lose 2 pounds. So, don't be judgmental. When it comes to religion, unfortunately, majority of us and the majority of the religious minority, majority of the mankind, and because the minority are the religious people, so the majority of that minority have that doubt. Maybe it happens, it doesn't happen. I don't know. Maybe yes, good. Okay, that's Maulana said, let's try for it. He has said for 40 days to recite, like for example, if you have any issues, you can recite 40 days Ziyarat-e-Ashura. Okay, let's. Paulana, I said 40 days difficult to recite Riyarat Ashura for 40. Okay, let's do for 4 days. Let's do for like 10 days, maybe. Maybe something you get some results. But like the doctor says, if you are taking the antibiotics, you need to complete your course. So you need to. There are some prescriptions like that, even in the spirituality world. So what I was telling, that these imams, besides the main purpose, remember, the main purpose of the divine guides was to guide the entire mankind towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to solve our financial problems, not to solve our family issues, okay? But yes, besides giving the guidance and want to take us towards the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this world is a testing world for us. So they tell us how to prepare your papers, how to attempt your test, how to attempt your papers, how to attempt your test. They give us the strategy to prepare ourselves. They give us the strategy to attempt and come face to face with the challenges which would come. So they tell us, so there is a twin utility in believing and following the Ahlul Bayt and these divine guides, that they guide not only for hereafter, they guide us for this worldly issues. You have family issues, there is a guidance. You have an issue in grooming children, there is a guidance. You have issues with your husband, there is a guidance over there. You have issue with your wife, there is a guidance over there. You are having an issue with your parents, there is a guidance over there. You have issues in business issues, there is a guidance over there. If you have issues with your neighbors, again there is a guidance over there. If you are having issues with your health, again there is a guidance over there. You are having issues with your family members, again there is a guidance. You have issues with your business, again there is a guidance over there. So there is a different sort of guidance, because we do not refer to those guides and those guidance and scriptures and sayings and the teachings, so we feel that, we assume that, and we become judgmental. There is that we cannot find anything in Quran, and we cannot find anything in the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. We become judgmental. We presume things and we just put it aside. But the day you decide, my dear, that these are my guides, and I have to take the instructions and guidance from them, then you will find that how you can, or we can bring our lives on track. Track, this is Surat al-Mustaqim. Ihdina Surat al-Mustaqim. When we say Ihdina Surat al-Mustaqim, O Allah, guide us towards the Surat al-Mustaqim. So one of its interpretation is that, O Allah, guide me on the Surat of Wilayat Ali ibn Abi Talib. Okay? Once we come to the station of the Wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, then what to do? Then he will say, okay, now you can enjoy whatever you would like. Do haram or halal or whatever you want to do, I will do intercession on the day of judgment. No, dear, there is no promise for Amir al-Mu'mineen like that. It's all man-made as per our desires. Wherever they have said that we will intercede, they have given some criteria. Unfortunately, what happens? That some of the speakers, some of the readers who go through the different books and the speakers who give the speeches, it's not that all the criteria has been given in one hadith. In one hadith, maybe one criteria. Then another hadith, there could be 3 criteria. Then again, another hadith we refer, there could be 5 criteria. Yet another hadith we refer, maybe 2 criteria. So we need to bring all the criteria of being a Shia, so we can receive the intercession of Ahlul Bayt. We find one hadith, we say it's written, whosoever cry and weep on the Masaif Imam Hussein, paradise is for him. Who say, okay, now that's a finish. Wow, I weep, I cry on the Masaif of Imam Hussein. My dear, it's one of the criteria. One of the criterias. Of course, that person who have that heart, who can understand that how Imam Hussein was been killed and how his family members were being imprisoned and how much torture they have been given. Yes, if somebody really believes, have that heart, he will also have that heart to follow the sayings of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, to follow the footsteps of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Mithli la yubaya mithla. Imam have said this word when he was been asked to give allegiance for Yazid, la'natullah alayh. What he said? A person like me. He did not said, I will not give allegiance to Yazid. He said, a person like me. Okay? Question. Can there be another person other than Imam Hussain alayhi salam to his level? No. Imam is the level of perfection, 100%. So even if we are the followers, we are not 100%. We are 5, 10, 20, 50, 60, 70, but we cannot reach that perfection, okay? Even if we strive. But the thing, mythically, the person who believes in my principle just not to give allegiance to a tyrant. If somebody follow my principle, even if a 10% person, even a 20% person, that person would not give his hand of allegiance to the person who is a tyrant, who is against Islam. The Imam says, mithli, a person like me will not give his hand of allegiance and obedience to a tyrant person like Yazid. It's not Yazid. If Yazid is gone, that doesn't mean the tyranny is gone. No. For the centuries to come, as it was Firaun and Namrud and other people over there, so the people in till the day of judgment, tyrant people and rulers will come. And they will be always party, there was always a group and believers and a nation who will believe on the footsteps of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, that to being on the just path and the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should not give our allegiance to these tyrant and so-called powerful leaders of the world, leaders of our countries. No, I do not say go and be stood against them. But I am saying, be aware. It's not, they are, these worldly leaders cannot tell us what is, what, how to spend our life, how to live our life. It is from the divine guidance it will come. So Imam Hussain established, and that's why I say, it's Husayniyat. It's not only Hussain. Hussain is completely a religion. It's a school of thought who believes in Hussain alayhi salam. He believes in the pure Islam of justice. And he, that person, he or she cannot give allegiance to the tyrant people. They cannot follow their footsteps. They cannot live a life like a tyrant of Bani Umayyah or Bani Abbas. They have minority. They were not having any spiritual guidance. Unfortunately, there are people who believe that they were being guides. But still, when it comes after Muawiyah, even in many of the Ahl Sunnah, they do not believe Muawiyah as their spiritual guide. Yes, they do believe about the first, second, third and fourth caliph that they were being leaders and the spiritual guides as well. But when it comes to Muawiyah and leaders of Bani Umayyah and Bani Abbas after that, they do not believe even Sunnah. That's why they believe in Imam Hanbali, Imam Shafi'i and so on. They believe in these Imams who gives them the religious guidance. But what we believe in, we say that no, our state administration should be in the hands of the divine leader. Okay, who will tell us about the how to offer prayers, how to fast, how to give zakat? Again, the same leader will give, because we do not separate these two things. We say it's a one thing. It's a different part A, B, C. You can make a paper, but it's the same. Religion, administration, ethics, moral, fiqh, the acts we perform in salat and other acts, it's one thing. And who's going to guide us for everything? It's the Imam, it's the divine leader, alayhi salam. Kindly say salawat Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Kindly recite. I want to get us loudest of your salawat, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Yes, my dear. And that's what we see in the battlefield of Karbala. Karbala itself is a school, complete school. Whatsoever we need to find, we can find that teaching in that few days of camping and Karbala and all this, taking them in prison. All this event, there's a lesson for us, for elders, for women, for men, for children, everyone. And that's what we see. Imam Hussain was traveling on the back of the horse, and Hazrat Ali Akbar was beside him. While they were traveling, Imam Hussain just slept for a few moments, slumber, and then he wake up just, and he started and performing that as if something he has seen as a dream. Hazrat Ali Akbar said, "Oh father, what you have dreamed?" He said, I have seen the Holy Prophet, my grandfather, and he was saying that Hussein, very soon you will be killed in Karbala." Allahu Akbar. They haven't reached Karbala. The message has been given to Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Not on one, it's a one occasion, there are several occasions. The message from the Prophet was been given to Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Hazrat Ali Akbar, he asked one question from Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Are we on the right path? Imam Hussain said, yes, definitely we are on the right path. Then Hazrat Ali Akbar says, as his grandfather Amir al-Mu'mineen said, what he said, Hazrat Ali Akbar, he said, then now it doesn't make any issue for me that if I am going towards my death or death comes to me, it's easy for me. We feel difficult going towards death. But Ahlul Bayt has always taught us, not only the Imams, but the children, the family members of Imam who are not infallibles, but their lifestyle was without a sin. They were having a pure heart, the pure personality. In history, which has been written by many of the people who were against Ahlul Bayt, they did not able to trace a single sin, a single mistake from the life of Hazrat Ali Akbar. And that's what we say, Hazrat Ali Akbar spend a life with chastity, with honor, with dignity. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. His Imam Hussain said, Ali Akbar, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself as you have been the eldest of my son. You will have to go after Ashab, when Ashab, the companions, has given their lives, that from Bani Hashim, you should be the first one. That my son, I will give my first sacrifice. Imam said, I will give my first sacrifice. Allahu Akbar. What a difficult time it could be. Ali Akbar, who was the hope of a parent, who was the hope of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, who has been groomed in the house of Ahlul Bayt, in the house of the Prophet, in the house of the Messenger. When they entered into battle, different conversations took place. On the day, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, on the day of Ashura, on the day of Ashura, companions coming one after another. Hazrat Hur came first. He gave his life, his son's life, his slaves' lives, and the companions and his other fellows who followed him. Hazrat Zuhair ibn Qain, Muslim ibn Awsaja, Hazrat Jaun, Allahu Akbar, they were precious and valuable companions. And that's why Hazrat Imam Hussain said that the companions which I have, my father and my brother, they did not have the companions like you. That the companions I have, no one will going to have the companions like the companions of Karbala. Allahu Akbar. They rendered their lives. They fought for Islam. They defended the haram of Ahlul Bayt, the haram of Rasulullah. They defended them. Hazrat Ali Akbar, Hazrat Ali Akbar. Hazrat Ali Akbar came to Imam Hussain alayhi salam and said, Oh father, now that time has reached, the companions has rendered their lives. Now it's my responsibility to go and find and defend Islam and defend the haram of the Rasulullah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Holy Imam Hussain said, Oh Ali Akbar, how it is difficult to send you in the battlefield. Allahu Akbar. go and seek permission from your mother. Seek permission from your aunt Zainab. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He came to his mother. And then his mother said, your aunt Hazrat Zainab has taken care of you. She brought up you. Go and seek her permission. I don't know how he took the permission. Some of the book has written that whenever Hazrat Ali Akbar wanted to get something from Hazrat Zainab, he used to put his head on the laps of Hazrat Zainab. Maybe on that day Hazrat Ali Akbar has put his head on the laps of Hazrat Zainab. Hazrat Zainab, start rubbing his face and putting her fingers in the hair of Hazrat Ali Akbar. She could able to she understood that Ali Akbar would like to take something, would like to have something. She said, "Oh Ali Akbar, oh my son, what would you wish to have from me?" Ali Akbar said, "I would like to ask you one question. My aunt, just let me know who is the closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you or your mother, Hazrat Fatima?" Hazrat Zainab said, "Indeed, my mother was the Sayyidatul Nisa al-Alameen. She is the closer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So he asked, "Then whose children are more valuable, your children or the children of Hazrat Fatima?" Again, Hazrat Zainab said, "Yes, the children of Hazrat Fatima is more valuable." Then Hazrat Ali Akbar said, "Then why don't you allow me to sacrifice on your behalf and render my life in defending Islam and defending Imam Hussein alayhi salam?" Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Zainab hugged Ali Akbar and said, "Oh Ali Akbar, how difficult it is to allow give you the permission to go to battlefield. Oh, Ali Akbar, whenever we wanted to meet Holy Prophet, we used to call, because Ali Akbar was the total resemblance of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. So whenever, not only his facial features, but also the way of talking, his speech, and even his walking and talking, everything used to be in resemblance of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. So whenever people used to want to see the Holy Prophet, they used to call Hazrat Ali Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Zainab gave the permission. Hazrat Ali Akbar came to his father. You know what the day of Ashura, when the Fajr Azan was been given, Imam Hussein said to Hazrat Ali Akbar and said, "Oh my son, let me hear your voice, the voice of Rasulullah. This would be the last time you give me azan." So Ali Akbar gave the last azan in the battlefield of Karbala. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When he started the azan, not only the companions of Imam Hussein, they cried and they weep, but those people used to remember the voice of the Holy Prophet. They recall the voice of the Holy Prophet, that this is the voice of the Holy Prophet. Those people also cried, "Allahu Akbar." Yes, Ali Akbar azan. Azan Ali Akbar was the azan which was been given on the battlefield in the voice of the Holy Prophet. Allahu Akbar. Ali Akbar came to Imam Hussein and said, "Oh father, I have sought permission from my mother.
from my aunt. Now you allow me. Now you allow me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Again, Imam Hussein hugged Ali Akbar and said, Ali Akbar, it is so difficult. It is so difficult to allow you and give you permission to go into battlefield. But for the sake of Allah and to defend the religion, I allow you now go into the battlefield and fight courageously and valiantly. Allahu Akbar. Yes, Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar into the when he came into the battlefield. And when Ali Akbar entered into the battlefield, the people, the army men of the enemy, they got frightened because they knew that Ali Akbar is one of the courageous fighter, and that's how he fought. That's how he fought. At time he used to fought on the right place, on the right rank, and another time on the left. Allahu Akbar. He killed and slaughtered more than 200 people. But he also got thirsty and got injured and hurt. And I see he came back to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and said, he knew that there is no water in the camp. There is no water, not even a drop of water in the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But he came to his father. His father and said and complained, oh father, I am feeling thirsty. My throat is dried. Allahu Akbar, give me something. Give me a drop of water. Allahu Akbar said that why Ali Akbar is asking for water when he knew that there is no water in the camps of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The people replied, ulama say, if a child doesn't go to his parents, then where the child will go and complain? Ali Akbar came to Imam Hussein just like a child and said, oh father, I am feeling thirsty. Now this sword has become very heavy for me. I've been hurt all over the body. Allahu Akbar. You know what Imam said? Imam said, oh my son, take my tongue in your mouth. Maybe you can feel better. Let me say that a tip of a tongue of Imam Hussein, as Ali Akbar took in his mouth and said, oh father, your tongue is much drier than my tongues and my throat. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam took out his one of the rings of aqiq and put on his and gave it to Hazrat Ali Akbar and said, put it in your mouth, and hopefully there will be a time will come that time is very close when your grandfather holy prophet will come to you with the water from hose Kausar, a water from which you will quench, and then after that you will not feel thirst. Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein gave the indication that, oh my son, this is the last time. But before going for the second time in the battlefield, once again, I don't know, by himself he decided, or the ladies or his aunt or his sister asked to come into the camp, he went into the camp once again for the final farewell. Allahu Akbar. The historian said it was something odd that I used to see that the curtain rises and comes down, curtain rises and comes down, a curtain rises and comes down. Then I came to know later on that whenever Hazrat Ali Akbar wanted to step out of his camp, somebody would have grabbed his clothes and said, oh my brother. Oh my brother, you are leaving us alone. The ladies of Haram used to say, Ali Akbar, you are leaving us alone. Allahu Akbar. Ali Akbar used to try to step out. Again, he was being grabbed by those little girls over there, by his sister Sakina. Allahu Akbar. Ultimately, Hazrat Ali Akbar came into the battlefield. Again, Forest Leanne. Courageously, Ali Akbar fought his life. alive, and he killed many of the enemy members. And when the Amr ibn Sa'd saw that Ali Akbar cannot be controlled, why? Because he has the blood of his grandfather Ali ibn Abi Talib. He is Ali like Ali Murtaza. He is the son of the one who had conquered Khaybar and Khandaq. He is the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. We cannot control him one by one. He said, surround him. Around, go and send his army men to surround Ali Akbar. Imam Hussein, who was on the top of the mount and was looking to the fight of his son, he could not suddenly able to see that where his son is. He called Imam Hussein, say, oh my son, give a call to me. A last call came from Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar said, alayka minni salam ya Aba Abdullah, alayka minni salam ya Abate. Allahu Akbar, hadha jaddi, here is my grandfather in a bowl of water of Hawza Kawthar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The coward enemy attacked from the back. They threw the spear from the back, which came out from the front of his heart. Allahu Akbar. When Imam Hussein reached on the body of Ali Akbar, his hand was on his chest. He said, why you are not removing your hand? Imam Hussein said, why you are not removing your hand from the chest? He did not answer. Imam Hussein took away his hand and saw that there's a tip of that spear still in the chest. So he took out that tip of that spear, and then blood start flowing like a fountain. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ali Akbar left his father alone. Ali Akbar left Haram Imam Hussein alone. Ali Akbar left his aunt Zainab alone. Now Sakina do not have Ali Akbar as his brother to guard him. There is no one to guard the Haram of Ahlul Bayt. Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein put the chest of Ali Akbar on his own chest, because Ali Akbar was so heavy, and Imam Hussein could not able to pick him up. He dragged his body towards the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, towards the camp. When the body of Ali Akbar reached over there, Allahu Akbar, wa Muhammada wa Aliya, the ladies came out and cried on Ali Akbar and said, oh Muhammad, oh my prophet, oh my father Ali, oh my mother Fatima, where are you? I know Ali Akbar has been killed. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر الأهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى صحاب الحسين. My 12th Imam in occultation, he grieves over there and cry and shed his tears and say, my salam and my salute on the son of Hussein Ali Akbar, who has been killed in the battle of Karbala. My salam to the Shaheed, which has the resemblance of the Holy Prophet. اللهم نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرم وبدم مقتول بكربلاء. يا الله 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 يا الله. ربنا تقبل منا هذا القليل. والله accept this little ibadat from us. Allah give us tawfiq, give us tawfiq to follow the footsteps of Ali Akbar alayhi salam. Allah give us tawfiq to understand the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt and follow according to them. Allah give us tawfiq to be the pure and true followers of Imam al-As, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajhu al-sharif. O Allah, hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma kulli waliyyika al-hujjat ibn al-Hasan. Salawatuka alayhi wa ala abai. Fi hadhihi as-sa'ati wa fi kulli as-sa'a. Waliyan wa hafidha wa qaidan وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. ماتم حسين.